Well, good morning, everyone. I just want to thank Marilyn and Aaron and Owen. Rebecca and Andrew are out this week, and they called and said they couldn't do worship this week, so Marilyn stepped in for piano, and Aaron and Owen sang, of course, and I'm just very appreciative of that, and just nice to have people around here that can actually sing, because you guys wouldn't want to hear me up here singing, trust me. Good morning. And over the last couple of weeks, I was gone. Aaron and I and our family, we went on a cruise to Mexico, and we just really enjoyed that, a lot of rest and relaxation. We were on there for 7 days, and I don't know if you guys know me very well, but I don't sit still very good. And so the first 4 days were sort of fun. I was exploring the ship and doing all those kind of fun things, and by the fifth day, I was like, get me off this boat. It was terrible. But going to the ports and stuff was nice. So it was fun. But I always felt like I didn't miss work too much. But I did miss church. When I'm away from church for a couple weeks, you know, it always feels like there's something missing. You know, I wish it was like that on my job. My boss, I should say, wishes it was like that on my job. But I am very thankful for my job, but I miss this place more so. But I also knew coming back this first week wouldn't necessarily be the easiest of times. It's never easy for any church to have their lead pastor called away by God to do some other things that God has them to do. I know Pastor Nate felt it was time for him to move on. I know he was in prayer for quite a while on that, and he just felt like God was telling him it was time for him and his family to step away. They're still seeking God to find what that is, what God has next for Nate in his ministry. So just continue to pray for Nate that God will reveal clearly what he would have Nate do moving forward. But I am convinced that God had a season for bringing us Pastor Nate over these past 4 years. And that season was good. It was a good season when we had Nate here. But now God is calling this church to move on to a new season. And the question that we all need to be asking God is this: what will this new season look like, and how can I be part of what God is going to do next? We all need to be reminded that this church and every Bible-believing church out there is Christ's church. I know we all like to say that this is my church or Pastor so-and-so's church. And I admit I say that. You probably said it before. Because in reality, it is your church. It's your church because Jesus Christ gave it to you. It's ultimately his, but we are part of him. And so it's good to say this is my church. It takes ownership of what goes on in here. But really, what is the church anyway? Is it this building? I've heard preachers say that before, that Christ's church isn't a building. Now, although that is true, Christ's church isn't a building, what goes on in this building is Christ's church. And as I said, it belongs to him. And everything we do in this building is done for Christ's kingdom. And we have been given the privilege to take care of what goes on in this building so we can go outside this building and take care of the business that God, Jesus, asked us to do. Now again, I've heard preachers say that Christ's church is the people. Now that is also very true. Anyone who is in Christ is part of the church. That includes people who are sitting here today that are in Christ, people next door at Calvary Chapel, down the street at Assembly of God's, and all the churches, Christ-centered churches in this community and around the world. We are all the global church, all part of the church, and we should be working together. But at this moment in time, God has each of us here at Living Hope Community Church for a specific purpose. We can look back and we can rejoice in all the wonderful works God has done through this church, the wonderful work God has done through the people who have attended this church throughout the years, and all our past pastors. We have two of them sitting here, Pastor Daryl and Pastor Doug, all the amazing things that God did through their ministries. We can look back on all that and we can rejoice. But we need to look at what's going on right now. We can't lose focus on that. I can go into a bunch of those wonderful works that has been done. And as I said, it's good to rejoice. However, I believe with all my heart that God is asking us not to lose sight on what He would have us do next. We need to look forward to all the wonderful things that God has planned for this church body at Living Hope and rejoice in that ahead of time. Rejoice in it now. God has something big planned for this church. Every believer sitting in this church has a part to play in that, though. Now, I have been part of this church since my youngest son, who was standing up here, Owen, attended preschool at Sunshine Kids. I have seen over the years the greatest growth in this church occur when everyone was involved and people were joyfully serving for something greater than themselves. They hungered. They had a hunger for the Lord to know Him more and more. And as a result, not only did they grow spiritually from the inside, but this church and everyone in it grew spiritually from the inside as well, and the numbers increased as well. You see, when the Spirit moves in us, that's what brings growth to a church. But we need, again, to keep our focus. We need to focus on why, as believers, we are here to begin with. Now, in Matthew, in the New Testament, Matthew, Jesus came to His disciples. And by the way, disciples is just another term for students or learner. He came to His disciples and He said, this is in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus said to the disciples, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Now, this is what the church calls the Great Commission. We are here to make and teach disciples so they can be sent out to make more disciples. Jesus didn't give us, we can read Scripture, especially when you read the Old Testament, you can go and read a lot of the law and wonder, wow, there's a lot there that I need to know, you know. But when Jesus came, He made it, first of all, He made faith pretty simple as far as what we have to do to be saved. And I'll go into that in a minute. But His command to us was pretty straightforward. We are to go out and make disciples. We have been commissioned by God to make disciples. Now, some of you may know that I spent some time in the military. I met an old military buddy down in California while we were on vacation. And, you know, you just make friends for life. Just like in the church, in the military, we're a close community. And when you make friends in the military, they're your friends for life. So it was a great time. But I was an enlisted guy in the military, serving my country the best I was told to do. Because when you join the military, you're told what to do. And yes, wow. That's my son back there. I think he's playing a joke on me. Turn it down just a little bit, guys. Anyway, we were told what to do in the military. And when I was in basic training, I was told when to get up. I was told when to eat. I was told how fast to run. I was even told how I was to tie my boots. And I messed that up quite a few times while I did it. And they let me know that I did not know how to tie a boot. And I was like, I don't know, my mother taught me how to tie shoes. But okay. But you see, when I was in the military, I was not a commissioned officer. Sure, the higher rank we made as enlisted people, they gave us more responsibilities, more decisions that we can make while in the military. But ultimately, the people that were commissioned to lead the military were the commissioned officers. They were the ones that were making the decisions. they were given the privilege by the United States government to see that the mission of the military was being fulfilled. When you're on a military base and you're in the military, you know when there's an officer, because if you do not salute one, they will let you know when you're walking by. You know who the commissioned officers are. But see, when I read or hear that God, what God has gave his church, you and I, a great commission, it really makes me sit up and realize what an awesome responsibility and privilege Jesus gave each one of us. Each one of us who has placed their life in Christ's hands came to him with nothing, absolutely nothing to offer but ourselves. All we really had in God's eyes was our sin. And if we laid that down before him and humbly asked him to forgive us of our sins, Jesus was faithful and is continually faithful to wash away our sin and because of the sacrifice that he made for us. We come as we are, he forgives us, and then he commissions us. I mean, it's amazing when I think about that. Now, for you young people out there that are at the age that you can actually join the military, if you were to walk into a recruiter's office, a military recruiter's office, and say, I want to join the military, but I want to be commissioned as an officer, they are going to laugh at you and throw you out the door. If you do not have a college degree in something, they will not commission you as an officer. They'll say, go back to school, or they'll give you options to maybe go to school to become a commissioned officer, but you cannot just be commissioned with just as you are. But yet the God of the universe has done that for every disciple who has come to them just as they are with their sin. He forgave them and he commissioned them. That's pretty cool. But you see, Jesus already wants his church to grow. He wants it. As a matter of fact, he promised that it would. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus came to his disciples and asked them who they thought he was. Now, Simon Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus then responded to Peter by saying, and I tell you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. You see, Jesus was reiterating the truth that Peter had just spoken. It is the cornerstone, the foundation of what the church is. The foundation, the cornerstone of Jesus is the Messiah. He is the King. He is God. And nothing, absolutely nothing, will overcome his church, even hell. Jesus then went on to say to Peter, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What Jesus is saying to Peter here is very, again, very, very profound. Now, some people have misinterpreted these verses to think that Jesus gave Peter the keys to heaven and Peter was the keeper of who gets in and who stays out. But they are taking those verses again out of context, because Jesus and Peter both already established, or Peter did, and Jesus already knew, but Peter did. Peter established that Jesus is the Messiah. So Peter is not the keeper of who gets in and who stays out. But yet, why would Jesus say, I'm giving you the keys to heaven? Now let me explain this maybe from a father of a teenage son's perspective. Owen is getting ready to drive pretty soon. Yeah. And he's already asking me which car he's going to be allowed to drive. Now, when Owen completes his driver's education training, I will give him the keys to my car. But it's still my car. And he will know that when he drives away. So, in a way, Jesus is doing this with Peter and all the disciples. He's giving them the keys because he's giving them the responsibility to the keys to heaven, because it's our responsibility. It ultimately falls on the Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about that maybe in the next couple weeks of how that works through us. But you see, Jesus gave Peter the keys. But Peter was beginning to understand what he needed to do. And eventually so did the other disciples. Peter and the disciples didn't know everything yet. They didn't know that Jesus was going to be crucified at this moment and rise from the dead. All that Peter knew at this moment was Jesus was the Messiah. He was, as we would call maybe today, an immature Christian. And, you know, I don't really like that term, immature Christian. It's like, I don't know, when I'm immature, I'm like running all around and being goofy. But in the sense that they didn't know everything, but they knew the most important thing, that Jesus was the Messiah. They still had some learning to do because they were disciples. They were learners. They still had to learn. But that did not excuse them from their commission. You see, when a teenage driver takes the road, we all hold our breath. But over time, they should learn to become better drivers, or at least we hope they will with proper instruction. You see, the church, we know our mission, but we need to get focused on where God is taking us to fulfill that mission. Now, over the next 2 weeks, as we gather together, I'm hoping that we can explore what God expects from His church, and specifically Living Hope, and how He expects us to meet the great commission He gave every one of us believers. Today, I'm just going to focus on why we gather here each week and how important it is that we do. And next week, we'll probably get more in detail on the purpose of the church. We'll see what happens on that. And then the third week, we'll be discussing how we can become empowered by God to fulfill that purpose. I'm convinced that when we, as believers, understand these areas and take serious with enthusiasm and belief, we will see this church grow, not only in numbers, but most importantly, in spiritual perspective. We will see ourselves grow spiritually. Now, this all starts with the church leadership, but it does not end at the church leadership. We can't expect any pastor to grow a church alone. The church will either fail to grow in numbers or fail to grow spiritually. So it's not all about the numbers. As I said, it's most importantly about our spiritual growth. The numbers will follow. There are many inspirational speakers out there today, both Christian and secular, who can fill stadiums with people who want to hear that person speak. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with an inspirational speaker, but that's not what the church is all about. Sure, we want good sermons, we want good messages, we want to hear what God has to say, but it's not the inspirational speaker that we're about. We're about becoming and fulfilling the commission as disciples to make more disciples. Believers are to grow spiritually so they can be equipped to save more souls. So there are three main reasons why we come to this building each week. Each one of these reasons for coming to the church revolve around community. Community is very, very important to God. If you think you're going to grow closer to God by yourself, I can just warn you that you're only going to get so far. Because eventually God is going to direct you to be around other believers. And if you disobey Him on that, you will find yourself slowly going backwards. It's just how God works. This is not me trying to be critical here. It's just how God works. And there's a reason. It's because He wants us to be a community, a people, a family. Now, I'm sure you've heard some people refer to this as the church body. We throw that term around church a lot, and there's a reason. Because the term is used a lot in the New Testament. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, the Apostle Paul refers to the church as a body. The body is a, let me go back, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Paul says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were given the one Spirit to drink. Paul goes on in this chapter comparing the church with body parts. Now, in a way, when you read this, it's almost like Paul is being a little comical here when we read about how he's comparing the church body, our physical bodies, to the church. But he's very serious about it. But I don't know. I thought maybe if the disciples were sitting there listening to Paul, the other disciples, they were probably going, what is he talking about? But it does make sense, and it's almost funny. He says, now the body is not made up of one body part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a body part. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body, this is why it made me laugh, the whole body were an ear, I just had a picture of a big ear walking around. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Paul continues on comparing the church to the body. And we can understand when something on our body fails. Some of you know, some of you may already be experiencing aches and pains. Body parts that are not working as good as they used to. Now, the other night ago, I was walking down the steps of my stairs at home, and for some reason, my right knee just decided it didn't want to go down the next step. I don't know, what is that? It's just like you're walking normally, and all of a sudden, the right knee just goes, I'm not moving. And so I started falling down the steps, and luckily, my left leg caught the third step, and then my left arm caught the railing, and I didn't fall on my face. Now, Aaron's probably thinking this is all because I'm aging, but I don't know. But anyway, do you see where Paul's going with this? Our body parts, my left leg caught myself. So Paul is comparing that all the body parts have to work together. So you see, we're here to lift up one another. When one stumbles, another grabs hold so they don't tumble the rest of the way down the steps on their face. So the next time you find yourself saying church body, know that it isn't just some churchy term. There's a reason why we call ourselves the church body, because it's very important to God that we be here for each other. When you are not here, not only will it be difficult to catch you if you fall, but you may not be around to catch someone else when they fall, because they need you. So very quickly, I just want to briefly lay out the main reasons. These are three reasons I came up with based on talking, you know, praying with God. I'm sure there's multiple other reasons, but I came up with a few. I said the first reason to come to church is to, like we did earlier, worship God together. Worship God as a community of believers. We come here to worship God, but does God really need our worship? Really, He doesn't need our worship. However, it is the act of our worship that brings Him closer to us. Now, for those who have children, how many, if you have remembered when your child was younger and they were singing out, I don't know how many of you had. I had my kids when they were younger, they would sing praises to me. Like, Dad's great, you know. And my daughter did that mostly. But they would sing songs to you, and it makes you feel, as a dad, good. They don't do that anymore now. But but when they were younger, they would sing to Aaron and I. And, it just brings joy to your heart. Now, in a way, God's the same way when we're singing to Him. We're His children. He loves it when we sing to Him, and He draws us closer. It draws Him closer to us. Now, the second reason we come to church is to spiritually equip the community of believers in the church. Now, what I mean by this is we are here to grow together spiritually. We are here to help each other grow. God doesn't only desire to grow us spiritually for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others who do not know Him yet. When we share our faith, non-believers will have questions. They will have questions. And are you spiritually equipped to answer those questions? Every believer should know the how to lead someone to salvation in Christ. We pretty much got that one down if you're in Christ. But I don't know your experience. They usually go deeper than that. And it's not that you're going to have all the answers. The disciples at the time didn't have all the answers, but they were seeking them and they were wanting to learn more. So it's important. We are a family, and a healthy family should be there for each other. In order for there to be there, it begins to be there for each other, it begins by being in this God's house together once a week. And also, when non-believers walk through these doors, they are seeking something greater for their life. They are searching for something, or more so, for someone. They may not know it that much yet, but that someone is Jesus, and He is in you as a believer. When a non-believer walks through those doors, they should encounter Jesus every time. It's not just out in the community, but that's true too. But do we really think that non-believers walk through those doors to hear some awesome Christian music? Now, our worship team is very good. They do a very good job, an amazing job each week. But listening to good music is not the reason a non-believer walks into a church. They're walking through the church doors, as I said, to search for something greater for themselves. Non-believers walk in the church looking for hope. And again, that hope is found in every believer in this church. If the church is no different than the outside world, then a non-believer who is walking in has no chance of getting to know who Jesus is. A church does need to stay relevant in today's world. But we should never be like the world. We are told by Christ to not be of the world. And the reason is because it's attractive to people in the world. Sure, there's going to be people that want nothing to do with God, and all we can do is continue to pray for them. But if they're coming into this church and it's the same as the world, or any church, and it's the same as the world, they're not going to stay because it's no different. And I'm not saying that's what happens here at this church. It's just, in general, what we need to just be careful of. And the last reason, the third reason we come to church is, again, to make disciples. And this is really one of the most important reasons, because that's the commission, that's the command that Jesus gave us, is to make disciples. How are we as a church body going to go out into the world to make new disciples? Because this doesn't happen in this building. It has to happen out there. How are we going to go out there and make disciples if we don't understand what a disciple is to begin with and what a disciple does? This is where the church body, all of us, come into play. We are all disciples. We are all to disciple each other. If you think that you don't have something to offer to teach somebody something, that you do. If you read something in Scripture, you have a responsibility to share that with somebody. Doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 30 years or 5 days. You're valuable to God, and you have a purpose. When a person comes to Christ, again, they are saved by faith alone. There is nothing you can do to earn that forgiveness. You just have to believe in the one who paid the price for you, and that is Jesus. But it does not end there. We are to mature in our walk with Christ. We are called followers of Christ. How can we follow someone if we have no idea where he's going or what he wants us to do? This is also part of the church body building up. We need to learn together. Never think that you can't know enough or you don't know enough. And never think that you know too much, that you don't have to learn anymore, because we all have to learn a lot. Anyway, I want to close this out in prayer today. And I do have a lot of hope for this church. And I know the message was a little pointed, and it was really just because when we go through a transition like this, and this is nothing against any past leadership or anything that we've done. We had, as I mentioned in the beginning, we had many wonderful things here that happened. We had wonderful things that happened under, even before Nate. There's always things, but God is asking us always to look forward, because we're not perfect. None of us are. The church is not, despite what the world may think, that they think we think we're perfect. The church is not perfect. We make mistakes. And we just have to admit that mistakes and say, okay, what do we need to do to move forward? Because really, there's people out there that need Jesus. And they need us to tell them about Jesus, to show them Jesus. And I believe with all my heart that this church, Living Hope, will have that, will be able to do that. Because I know the believers that are in this church love Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. And I just know, Lord, that there's always been transitions in different churches throughout history, and there's different leaders that come in. There's different you change happens, but you never change, Lord. And we praise you for that no matter what changes may be occurring around us at any given moment, that you are always there. You have said, Jesus, that you would never leave us. You would always be there for us. And Lord, we need you. We need you to guide us as we move forward. We need you to guide us, the church, the leadership here, everyone, to decide who the next leadership will be, the next pastor. And Lord, we just want your will to be done, whatever that is, because we know when your will is done, Lord, that you will lead us to new heights, and we just love you and praise you for that. And Lord, all of us ask, Lord, to show us what that way is. Show the leadership where we need to go, because Lord, we know that there's people right outside these doors that you know intimately that you want to be in relationship with, and you have commissioned us to go out there and reach them. So Lord, if you would just show us over these next weeks and months what that is, how we do that, and then your Holy Spirit, Lord, we need that here. We need you to guide us, Holy Spirit, because that's where the power comes in play. We can learn the words of your word, Lord, but without your Spirit, we're just ineffective. So we need you to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.